his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. But John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not. Herod feared John. Knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, yet he liked to listen to him. An opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers, officers, and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it for you. And he solemnly swore to her, if you ask, I will give you even half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? She replied, the head of John the Baptizer. Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his hopes for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came, took his body, laid it in a tomb.
The Gospel of the Lord.
He was still the entrepreneur by having his, shall we say, his own business. Amos was a minor prophet. He feared God and trusted in the Lord. Here we have Amos, who doesn't really think very much of himself, and then God gives him a message. Now, remember in biblical history, somebody else would say, wait a minute, Lord. He was reluctant, but God said, listen, I'll take care of it. Just do it. Well, here, he has this image of a plumb line. Now, we all know what a plumb line is. And as we speak, there are wallpaper hangers doing work in my home. Now, has anybody ever done wallpaper? I have. What happens if you don't use a plumb line? It's crooked. You ever install a tile floor? You don't start in the corner. You start in the middle, and you mark everything so everything is equal. Well, the whole symbolism of the idea of the plumb line is that God is addressing the people by sending this messenger to Jeroboam, who the temple it was a pagan temple. And Jeroboam kind of liked doing his own thing in his kingdom. And here comes Amos. Basically saying, hey, you've got to change the way you're doing things. And of course, Abijah, the priest, had run to Jeroboam and said, hey, this guy's out to get you. He's really out to get you. And the priest says, just take, you know, Amos, take your people, go away, get out of here, leave us alone so we can continue to do things the way that we used to do it. So Amos gave the word of God to the people. They should change because God was angry with those people who were turning away from him. And boy, don't we find that so much in the world today. When our society and even preachers have turned away from the preaching of God's word, you know there are a lot of preachers out there who are afraid they might offend somebody. Now, I haven't been very shy when it comes to preaching. The other minister is standing in a pulpit and he's holding a Bible and he said, if we're supposed to really believe this ancient book, you know, that's not what we're supposed to do now. And he's got this jam-packed, beautiful church. And here he's denying God's word. And then this simple little church where the preacher is really preaching God's word. Comes the point in the movie where all of a sudden we'll look the same, because we don't teach the thing with the rapture, whether it's going to be just that tough, whether it's going to be cars, whether it's drivers, or all. But it's the scene where this one who's left behind went to church every Sunday, find the minister who was left behind, and she said, I blame you. He said, Annie, you've heard the preaching of this church, and you didn't really realize that it wasn't. Place where it was being preached. She said, well, I would have rather been scared to heaven than be stuck here now. But perhaps we might want to have the fear of God, a joyful fear of God, to lead us to his kingdom. But now let's look at the whole situation with the Earth Day party. And you know, there's something called triangulation. Situations happen. Has anybody ever dealt with that? Anybody ever been in the middle of something? I think we all have. You know, you get it. You get in a church spot too. Somebody wants a spot, a little hornet's nest going, and they get other people to do the stuff so that they don't get it themselves. But here we have the situation where Herod, we also have to remember that Herod was a descendant of the King Herod, who sought out to kill Jesus and for Jesus. We've got to remember the family tradition must have stuck. But here we have King Herod, who actually was fearful with the whole message of John the Baptist. The scriptures very clearly say he protected John. He listened to him even though he was perplexed. But things that John said were not popular. So here we have with his birthday party. And let's put it this way, the dancing that was going on, I don't think it was a ballet. It was seductive. And I'm sure most of them had a spoonful. Including Herod. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes, you know, when people have a spoonful, they will say a few things, and they'll say, what did I do? What I gave myself into. Well, here we have Herod, who's so pleased because of this dance. And, you know, I love this part. Oh, that was so wonderful. You just entertained yourself. Whatever you want, I'll give it to you. Well, here comes the triangulation. Here he makes the promises, I'll give you whatever you want, and it's in front of all these witnesses. So what does Herodias do?
He goes to the mother.
The mother who hated John. Because John was saying, this is wrong. You're married to your brother's wife. There's something wrong with this picture. And Herod's wife would stand John and she wanted to kill him. So here comes daughter saying, hey, Mom, what should I ask for? And here's the triangulation at work. Tell your father I want the Baptist's head on a platter. And here, Herod was beside himself. But because he didn't want to look like a fool in front of all witnesses, he went ahead. Now it's an amazing thing, because Herod in his fear after having John beheaded, hearing about Jesus, he thought that John the Baptist had risen from the dead. It was those same messages still coming forward. And you see, those are the messages that we need to hear. We need to hear messages that will change our hearts, change our minds, and set us straight like the plumb line in Amos. So here's the good news. Bottom line is what we hear in Ephesians is so powerful. Christ has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, and he chose us in Christ. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be a holy and blameless people, living in love before God. God gives us grace. That wonderful gift. Grace is something that cannot be bought, earned, or bargained for. Grace is a gift that must be freely and willingly accepted. And the beauty of grace is the fact that when we receive God's grace, we can look at our lives and everything we've done and say, it's been paid for. Now I am sure that Herod, after what he had done, said, what have I done? Oh Lord, what have I done? How many of us at times have said that? What have I done? But we cannot change things we've done. But indeed, we can learn from those things. Remembering that the slate is clean. Because the Lord Jesus Christ paid the price for me, for you, and for every member of the human race. Everyone who will receive the gift of grace. May we go forth from this place today cherishing the gift of God's grace, knowing that we are loved by our Heavenly Father, and that through the shed blood of His Son,